oh, I've got so much to do. I got so much to do. I don't have any time to do anything, but I have so much to do.
This is Dr. Herbert Alvarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with the Absolute Philosopher.
I got so much to do. I got so much to do. I got so much to do. Oh, I'm so busy. I have so much to do.
When a person comes up to me and says they have so much to do, I think, my goodness, what they have to do cannot be very exciting, cannot be very interesting, because they complain about it. If they have so much to do, and they create themselves having a lot to do, they must create themselves having a lot to do because they like a lot to do.
That's true.
Now, I think that Ingeborg would change her occupation if we ceased to give her work to do in her office. Ingeborg likes doing the work in the office, but if there's no work for her to do in the office, she would just go outside and create work. She'd go outside and she'd start cutting down old dead trees and chopping up the trees and taking the buzzsaw and working on things. She's not going to limit herself. Anything Ingeborg does, she does because it's fun. Mm-hmm. Now, Sylvia, she loves to play on the computer. She loves to get on the internet. The internet has so much knowledge and wisdom on it. It is so beautiful. Now, Sylvia, in this issue of whatever it is, the magazine, I think it's Discovery, is it? Yeah, Discovery. In this issue of Discovery, are 50 of the best brains in science. One of them is Stephen Hawking. And the other guy, two guys, are one of the guys, these guys from Google, but one of the guys is the father of the internet, and it's most interesting, and this is the total story on him, Hawkins. It's most interesting because in this story he tells how this guy right here, but the interesting thing is he was working on his projects and his concepts, and then he went deaf. He couldn't hear anymore. So what he worked on was the internet. You didn't have to hear the internet. And he created on the internet the internet, you know. And then the next guy, he created the www on there. Two great things which are changing the whole thing. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then as you look through these other people in here, now, this guy is called the century's most fantastic man from what he has written. And you should read what he's written. It's very fascinating things. And then all of these here are kids in their 20s. And then later on, there are kids in their 17 and 18s. And here's a kid who is 17. And he didn't want to go to school. He wanted to be trained at home. So he was homeschooled. And he loved science. And so he would go to school or someplace. And he worked with this one man in science. And he came up with some brand new things on science that the scientists have been trying to figure out for years, and he came up with it in just one of his years of research, you know. Mm. It's something concerning the nanos. And all of these people are just utterly fantastic and doing utterly amazing things, and they're doing it because it excites them. Mm. Now, here's a whole series of people, a bunch of jerks, you know, no education, no training. And they went on and created some great inventions. They created all these things, but they had no education for it. It says here, who says you need a PhD in a university lab to wield a mean microscope or to discover a distant planet? These guys did without it. And it just showed how wonderfully they did it, how beautifully they did it, and how much fun. Because they found fun in this. Now, this guy here, he banded hummingbirds. And it said he banded some 3,500 hummingbirds, 3,900 hummingbirds, and they had banded all together with his volunteers 52,000 birds. 52,000 birds. But he just loves it. And he retired from what he was doing and went on to that. Now, the Google people look at these two young boys and they think, well, now, aren't they marvelous? Aren't they marvelous? Well, before they were marvelous, while they were still developing their own organization, they developed an organization called google.com.org, which was a nonprofit corporation. But they didn't take nonprofit corporation status. They didn't take tax exemption for it. They went out and they provided money for new starting up businesses or new projects or things. And they just went out and helped people to accomplish great and wonderful things, things in the health area, things in every area. And they just love it. Now, here they are with their own Google company, which is so fantastic, is one of the top people on the stock market. And it is staying there. And it, people love to invest in it. It's a moneymaker because people believe in it. And they believe in themselves. Now, I mean, it looks like happy guys. Mm-hmm. Two happy guys, yeah. And they're just young fellows. And then in here are a bunch of other people. Now, this guy here, he just turned 80. And he is the father of the string theory, which Einstein wanted to talk about. And Einstein talked about it, but he didn't develop it thoroughly. But he alluded to it and pointed to the value. This guy alluded to it thoroughly. He completely went through the whole thing and came up with it. And you see, when you have an interest in life, then everything works out beautiful. This came out of Business Week. And in Business Week, there is a young man who's now a little older, who was born in the 70s, and he was always working on things and trying to come up with things. And he was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a computer that would have the capacity that the brain has? And it says here, today's computers may excel at math, but they can't process complex streams of information in real time as humans do. And he has developed I don't know what he's developed, but he's developed some computer type thing that can do that. And they're working on it. And they're very successful. But the thing is, he's just developing a smarter circuitry. And he and IBM are the only two agencies in the world that are working on this and doing just quite beautifully. But it's a fascinating article if you want to read it, because it tells what a person can do who's not bored with life. What a person can do who is excited about every moment of living. And he takes every moment of living and just delights in it and charms in it and is excited for it. I have a lovely lady who sent me a letter in an envelope. And she wrote the letter on a sheet of paper. And then she put the paper in the computer, in the printer, so it would print the stationery on the letter. But the stationery went on the letter backwards. So instead of running some stationery straight away and then writing on it in the proper way, she just sent it with the stationery on backwards and said, I ran it through backwards on my machine. I mean, here she is, a woman who has billions of dollars. I'm serious. She has billions of dollars. And she does things like that. Well, when people are afraid to use what they have, they lose it. And you too, whenever you are afraid to use the talent you have in every possible way, you're going to lose it. And it's not me that's going to take it away from you. It's you yourself, because you're going to cut yourself right off the path. So take every genius you have and every wonderful talent you have and put it to work and let it work and enjoy it. Like when you read the Discovery magazine and you read Business Week magazine, you read about these people who are entrepreneurs of ideas. They take ideas and flash them around and come up with beautiful concepts. And if something is said that it can't be done, they say, I wonder if they knew about me. Because I think about things that can't be done as something that just hasn't been tried yet. And so when you read the story of Stephen Hawking and his condition, I enjoyed what the author had to say very thoroughly, because he told the story about Hawkins and how he has had this disease that crippled him so that he can do nothing but think and blink his eyes and so forth, and to talk to his machine, which he has created, which will do what he wants it to do. But he has to talk through a synthesizer to his machine. But he is considered one of the great minds of this century on computer technology, not in computer, but on space technology. Just an absolute genius. And he went on to describe the things that he was doing and the techniques that he's working on and the black holes of outer space and how he has just learned how to describe them and decipher them. And people say black holes of outer space suck up everything and there's nothing left, you know. And he said, that's not true. He said, little things do escape. And if you could see the black holes of outer space, you'd see a grayness around it. You wouldn't see the pure black, because there is light. There is activity going on, and wherever activity is, there's light. And he's pointing this out. And his mind is so absolutely deep, brilliant, fantastic. But the author of the article said, he's a brilliant man. But if I had to make a choice of whether I would live in a body that was incapable of being acted upon like his or not, I would choose living in a good body and not being so brilliant. And I thought to myself, yes, that's very true. This man who has such brilliance, if he would just take that brilliance and instead of saying, I'm locked in this body and I cannot get out, if he would just say, I know what it is that will remedy this condition that I have, remedy it, completely cure it, completely release it. I know what it is. He would know it. His mind is so intense, so fantastic in its capabilities, that if he wanted to know that, he'd know it. And you too, if you want to know anything, all things, just stop. Stop saying, I don't know. Stop saying, it's beyond me. Stop saying, it's too big for me to understand. And when you stop saying that, what happens? All of a sudden, you do understand it. And you do have it all be revealed to you. Now, think on these things. They're pretty terrific. They're pretty terrific. Ellen tells me she has a, is that a thesis or a book review or what?
A thesis.
A thesis from one of our intellectual students. And the thesis is so profound that as she reads it, she's just overwhelmed, because at times he becomes quite intellectual. And she wants me to look at it and check it over. And I said, Ellen, if you have a negative attitude about anything, don't tell me. Just tell me, Herb, would you look at this brilliant thesis here and see how he might improve it a little bit in any area that you think he could. And then I would go at it from a different point of view. But now I'm going to go at it with a tooth and nail, looking for all its faults. And I don't want to look for all his faults.
Oh, it's a beautiful
but the thing, you read it?
No.
Be careful what you're saying. You're allowed to have to eat it. I'll give you the chore. So, be very careful what you say about anything. Ellen comes to me, and she says, Herb, this is my son George. And he is not behaving. He's a little rattlesnake. He's just a vermin. He's just a recalcitrant child. I don't know what to do with him. I'm afraid I must put him into a home or something like that because I can't handle it anymore. Well, now, when Ellen comes to me telling me about her son George and how ribald he is, then what's going on in my mind? I got a little tiger here to deal with. But if Ellen were to tell me, Herb, George has the potential of being the most fantastic child in the world. Will you work with me on accomplishing that? And I say, you bet. So I would go to George thinking he's the most competent person in the world. He's got great capacity. And I would look at him with a great capacity rather than with his failures. And stop doing that. Rather than with his failures. And every time I look over at you, you're looking over that way. And I don't know what you're looking at, but I don't think that I want you looking like that. So, if Ellen were just to tell me, George is a fabulous kid, but I want to help him bring it out, it'd be a whole lot different than saying, George is just driving me up the wall, I can't handle it anymore, I'm going to have to send him away. You know, right away I'm going to call him a loser. And I don't want to do that. I would have to change my own consciousness. But why should she come to me and give me that garbage that I have to change out of my consciousness?
Right.
When she knows that I'm a practitioner, and I'm a practitioner who wants to know, what is it you want? Do you want him, George, to be the little jerk he is? Or do you want George to be the magnificent being that he is? So, see, these are things that are very important for all of us to consider. And we talk so much about the geniuses that are in the world and how wonderful they are. We talk about the geniuses that are accomplishing great things and how wealthy many of them are and the entrepreneurship of many of them. And why? Why are we talking like that? Because that's exciting. So let's talk about each one of us with each little effort that we make. Let it be a genius effort, accomplishing great results, worthy of who we are. Understand?
All right.
Okay. I love you eternally.
I love you eternally.